Take your Bibles now and turn to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. It's on page 6 in the Pew Bibles. If you're using those, it might be on page 6 if you're using another Bible too. Last week we looked at the world during the time of Noah, what it was like during the time of Noah before the flood came. The world was a wicked place, and God grieved over the wickedness. He was filled with sorrow and sadness, and He said that He would destroy every living thing on the face of the earth. But Noah, as a man of faith, as a man who walked with God, he was counted as righteous before God. And so God told him to build an ark, a big boat. And so today we're looking at this story of the flood and the ark. So listen to God's words. These are the words of life. I'm going to read from Genesis 6, starting in verse 9, and read all the way through verse 19 of chapter 8. So it's a good chunk of God's word, Genesis 6, verse 9 through Genesis 8, verse 19. So listen to God's holy word. In these words we find life. So let's listen. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God. And Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence. And God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth was filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them along with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and out with pitch. This is how you are to make it. The length of the ark, 300 cubits, its breadth, 50 cubits, and its height, 30 cubits. Make a roof for the ark and finish it to a cubit above and set the door of the ark in its side. Make it with lower, second, and third decks. For behold, I will bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, in which is the breath of life under heaven. Everything that is on the earth shall die, but I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall come into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing of all flesh you shall bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female. Of the birds according to their kinds, and of the animals according to their kinds, of every creeping thing of the ground according to its kind, two of every sort shall come in to you to keep them alive. Also take with you every sort of food that is eaten and stored up. It shall serve as food for you and for them. Noah did this. He did all that God commanded him. Genesis 7. Then the Lord said to Noah, go into the ark, you and all your household, for I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. Take with you seven pairs of all clean animals, the male and his mate, and a pair of the animals that are not clean, the male and his mate, and seven pairs of the birds of the heavens, male and female, to keep their offspring alive on the face of the earth. For in 7 days I will send rain on the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and every living thing that I have made I will blot out from the face of the ground. And Noah did all that the Lord had commanded him. Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters came upon the earth. And Noah and his sons and his wives and his sons' wives with him went into the ark to escape the waters of the flood. Of clean animals and all of animals that are not clean, and of birds and of everything that creeps on the ground, two and two, male and female, went into the ark with Noah, as God had commanded Noah. And after 7 days, the waters of the flood came upon the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, on the 17th day of the month, on that day all the fountains of the great deep burst forth, and the windows of the heavens were open, and rain fell upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. On the very same day, Noah and his sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Noah's wife and their wives, and the three wives of his sons with them, entered the ark. They and every beast according to its kind, and all the livestock according to their kinds, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth according to its kind, and every bird according to its kind, every winged creature. They went into the ark with Noah, two and two, of all flesh in which there was the breath of life. And those that entered, male and female, of all flesh, went in as God had commanded him. And the Lord shut him in. The flood continued 40 days on the earth. The waters increased and bore up the ark, and it rose high above the earth. The waters prevailed and increased greatly on the earth, and the ark floated on the face of the waters. And the waters prevailed so mightily on the earth that all the high mountains under the whole heaven were covered. The waters prevailed above the mountains, covering them 15 cubits deep. And all flesh died that moved on the earth, birds, livestock, beasts, all swarming creatures that swarm on the earth, and all mankind. Everything on the dry land in whose nostrils was the breath of life died. He blotted out every living thing that was on the face of the ground. Man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens, they were blotted out from the earth. Only Noah was left and those who were with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed on the earth 150 days. Genesis 8. But God remembered Noah and all the beasts and all the livestock that were with him in the ark, and God made a wind blow over the earth, and the waters subsided. The fountains of the deep and the windows of the heavens were closed. The rain from the heavens was restrained, and the waters receded from the earth continually. At the end of 150 days, the waters had abated. And in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, the ark came to rest on the mountains of Ararat. And the waters continued to abate until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, the tops of the mountains were seen. At the end of 40 days, Noah opened the window of the ark that he had made and sent forth a raven. It went to and fro until the waters were dried up from the earth. Then he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters had subsided from the face of the ground. But the dove found no place to set her foot. She returned to him, to the ark, for the waters were still on the face of the whole earth. So he put out his hand and took her and brought her into the ark with him. He waited another 7 days, and again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came back to him in the evening, and behold, in her mouth was a freshly plucked olive leaf. So Noah knew that the waters had subsided from the earth. Then he waited another 7 days and sent forth the dove, and she did not return to him anymore. In the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried off from off the earth. And Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. In the second month, on the 27th day of the month, the earth had dried out. Then God said to Noah, "Go out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons' wives with you. Bring out with you every living thing that is with you of all flesh, birds and animals and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, that they may swarm on the earth and be fruitful and multiply on the earth." So Noah went out, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him. Every beast, every creeping thing, and every bird, everything that moves on the earth went out by families from the ark. That's where we'll end the reading of God's holy word. On Christmas Day, back in 2004, John Thompson was traveling through Thailand, and he checked into a bungalow not far from the beach, and he settled in for the night. The next morning he woke up, and as he was there in bed, he felt a rumble that lasted about 2 minutes, and he didn't think anything of it at the time. He had a leisurely morning. He went and rented a motorbike for the day. He made his plans for the day of what he was going to do. Something strange, though, was happening down on the beach It was an extraordinarily low tide. And so he made his way down to the beach and he joined the crowd of people who were watching what was happening. The bay seemed to be emptying of water. And then the crowd looked up, and off in the distance there was a huge wall of water. And John actually snapped a photograph of the wall and he didn't think much of it until he realized that that wall of water wasn't stopping. And he and the rest of the crowd realized this, and they ran inland, but the water was quickly gaining on them. And so when he realized that, he bolted into a hotel that seemed at first glance to be sturdy enough, and he ran up to the top level of that hotel, and he watched from there the devastation of what turned out to be the most catastrophic tsunami ever recorded. That morning, miles and miles off the coast, an earthquake with the magnitude of 9.3 ripped through the ocean floor, triggering waves as high as 100 feet, and sent them rushing toward many coastal areas, catching many densely populated coastal areas by surprise. And on that day, in a matter of hours, 230,000 people were killed, and millions lost everything that they had. Lives were devastated. It was devastating, tragic. I'm sure you can remember hearing the news. 230,000 people wiped out. As far as I know, this is the closest experience that we have that gives us a small indication of the devastation that happened during the time of Noah. More than 1,600 years passed from the time of Adam until the flood. And because of the long length of time of life that people lived during that time, using simple math and calculations, the population of the earth right before the flood could have been well over 5 billion people. Whether it's 5 billion or not, maybe it's even in the millions. But regardless, there are lots of people on the earth going about their business, going to work, taking care of their homes. And on one day, they were all wiped out. When you really consider what happened, the tsunami of 2004, devastating and tragic as it was, doesn't even compare. It's a little blip on the radar compared to the magnitude of the flood in Noah's day. To say the least, we have euphemized this story. Noah's Ark has become a favorite children's story. It's one of my favorite stories growing up. It's a popular theme for nurseries, for baby nurseries. We have cute little books and pictures and piggy banks of children, for children, with a smiling Noah surrounded by a bunch of cute little animals. But that's not the picture that we should be left with after considering this story. This was the second biggest catastrophe the human race has ever known, the first being the fall of mankind, which destroyed mankind and destroyed the world. The second being the flood. Billions of people wiped out. It's mind-boggling devastation. And this story is referred to a number of times in the New Testament by Jesus and others as a real historical event. And it's presented as a picture of the final judgment, the day that is still coming, which will also come without warning. And if we aren't ready, we will be swept away by the flood of God's wrath. And the only way to be saved from that flood, which will be even more devastating than the flood of Noah, the only way to be saved from that flood is by resting in the ark of Jesus Christ. The most important question of your life, the most important question that this story should raise in your mind and my mind is your life safe and secure in Jesus Christ? Or will you be caught off guard and swept away, washed away by the flood of God's wrath? Is your life safe and secure in Jesus Christ? He is our ark. So Noah lived at a time when the world had become increasingly wicked. The line of Seth had intermingled with the line of Cain. The line of Seth was the line of faith, and it had dwindled because it intermarried. They had intermarried with the line of Cain. We're also told that the Nephilim, which is simply a name for the notoriously wicked people of the day, people like Adolf Hitler and Osama bin Laden, they were spreading their violence all over the world, all over the earth. And not only that, but the intentions of the thoughts of the hearts of everyone was wicked continually. At the time of the flood, Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wives stood in stark contrast to the world around them. They were all left. They were the only ones left who were actually living by faith at this point. Noah's father, who was also a man of faith, died about 4 years before the flood came. And Noah's great-grandfather, Methuselah, who lived till he was 969, ripe old age, the oldest man recorded in the Bible, he also was a man of faith. And we believe that he died that very same year as the flood, maybe months or even weeks before the flood happened. Noah, and by logical inference, his wife and his three sons and their wives were the only people of faith left on the earth out of billions. I think it's hard to be a Christian now in the world we live in now. Imagine that time. Eight people. It says in verse 9 of chapter 6 that Noah was a righteous man. In Hebrews chapter 11 it says, by faith Noah constructed the ark for the saving of his household. And by this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Noah and his family were righteous, not because they lived perfect lives, not at all. We'll see that they were not perfect in following God. We'll see that in the chapters ahead. But because they lived by faith, they were counted as righteous before God. It's important for us to understand this. Noah and his family were Christians. They lived by faith in the promised one who would come and save them. And by that faith, they were covered by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Today, we are remembering, looking back on the death of Jesus. We are looking back into the past. And by faith, we receive Christ. We trust in Christ. And through that faith, we are counted as righteous. We receive the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Noah and his family looked forward to Jesus, and by faith, they were considered righteous. By faith, we look back, and we are counted righteous. They were saved the same way that we are saved, through faith in the Savior. So 120 years before the flood, God gave the first warning to the world that the flood was coming. And we're told in 1 Peter 3 that through Noah, Jesus spoke through the Spirit to the people of that day, urging them to come to repentance, urging them to flee the day of destruction, to live by faith. But they didn't listen. But Noah did listen. God told Noah to build a big boat. And so for the majority of those 120 years, I imagine it took a long time, Noah and his sons got to work and they built this massive boat, the ark. God gave him measurements in the form of cubits. A cubit is a foot and a half, 18 inches long. And so the boat was 45 feet tall, the equivalent to a four-story building, 450 feet long. That's 1.5 football fields long and 75 feet wide. At some point after the ark was finished, God miraculously brought a male and female of every kind of unclean animal to the ark, like elephants and tigers and things like that. And he brought 7 pairs of every clean animal into the ark. So 14 of every clean animal, like sheep and oxen and certain birds. When all the animals were in, Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wives entered the ark. Now, we're not told that Noah had, we're told that Noah had three sons, but these may not have been his only children. He may have had other children who had rejected the faith, who had nothing to do with the ark, who paid no attention to the warning. So you can imagine, as they enter the ark, they weren't entering the ark like we would a cruise ship where they're all excited for the trip ahead. But they enter the ark knowing that that means the rest of mankind is about to be wiped away. All of mankind is to be wiped away, perhaps even including his own children or grandchildren. It's a very sobering time, sadness and heartache. When Noah was 600 years old, in the second month, on the 17th day of the month, there we're given a historical marker. On that day, it says that all the fountains of the deep broke open, burst forth. The windows of the heavens were open, and rain fell on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. Water came from above. It came from below. The oceans broke forth, overflowed their bounds. The rain fell for 40 days and 40 nights. The waters rose high above all the mountains. Now, it's helpful to remember that as we think about the world before the flood, the land structures of the earth must have been very different. The mountains were likely not nearly as high, and the valleys were not nearly as low. But this flood would have been world-altering, to say the least. And so it caused mountains to rise and valleys to be carved out. The flood gives us the simplest explanation for why there are petrified clams on the peaks of the Himalayan mountains and why fish fossils can be found on mountain peaks throughout the world. As it says in Psalm 104, which seems to be referencing this flood, it says this: "You covered the earth with the deep. The waters stood above the mountains. At your rebuke they fled. At the sound of your thunder they took flight. The mountains rose and the valleys sank low to the place that you appointed for them. And you set a boundary that the water may not pass, so that they might not again cover the earth." The mountains rose, the valleys sank low. So the ark floated on the surface of the water for 150 days. 5 months, I imagine, long months. And as the water slowly drained away, God brought the ark to rest on the top of the mountains of Ararat, having just one window there, resting on the top of the mountain. Noah apparently wasn't able to see over the edge. He was on top of the mountain, so couldn't see over the edge into the valleys. And so while the ark rested on the mountains there at Ararat, everyone stayed there in the ark for more than 200 days. A long time. They had to wait for all the waters to recede. The earth was a big mud ball at this point. They had to wait for the plants to sprout and grass to grow. So to test to see if the world could sustain life, Noah sent out a raven, which flew around for a while but stayed near the ark because the earth wasn't ready yet to sustain life. Later he sent out a dove and it came back. A week later, he sent out the dove again, and it came back this time with a freshly plucked olive leaf in its beak, indicating that the time was very near. And he sent the dove out a week later, and that time it didn't come back. The earth can now sustain life. So Noah took off a covering of some sort from the ark, and for the first time he saw a new earth. With new plants, new landscape. It was a new world. And he stayed another couple of months in the ark until God said it was time. And when Noah was 601 years old, on the second month, on the 27th day of the month, that's 375 days total being in the ark, God then told him to come out. God told Noah, come out, all your family and all the animals. And so Noah and his family stepped out of the ark onto a new earth. And the animals were free to roam. This is perhaps the best known Bible story. The fact that this story is found in some form or another throughout all the ancient cultures of the world, virtually all the ancient cultures have a flood story. We recognize that this is a very real and historical event. Well, Jesus tells us that this worldwide flood that happened in the past is meant to get us to think about the future, the coming days of judgment when Jesus returns. I want to point out four similarities between the flood and the final day of judgment very quickly. First, just as the flood was worldwide, so also the day of judgment that is coming will be worldwide. And not only that, it will be history-wide. As it says in Daniel and in other places of the Bible, on that day, every person who has ever lived will be raised from the dead. They will come out of the grave and they will stand before God, stand before Jesus, the righteous judge. And the final judgment will be declared, and some will enter into everlasting death and others to everlasting life. All of us will be there. Your neighbors are going to be there. All the children that we see playing in the neighborhood will be there. The elderly that we greet, they'll be there. And the panic and the fear and dread of that day will be far greater than the day of the flood, which also in turn is far greater than that day of the tsunami in 2004. It is worldwide and history-wide. Second similarity is that it will be a surprise. It will be worldwide and history-wide, and it will also be a surprise. Although the people in Noah's day knew that Noah warned that a flood was coming, they thought that it was a bunch of nonsense. They paid no attention, so they were caught off guard. Well, in the same way, the day of the Lord will catch many by surprise. Jesus himself said no one knows the day when it will come. On that day, there will be people at the beach, people in bed, people playing soccer, eating breakfast, watching TV, going to work. And although the church has proclaimed that the day of the Lord is near, just as the Bible says, many will not pay attention. So, like the flood, the day of judgment will not only be worldwide, but history-wide. Like the flood, it will catch people by surprise. And third, like the flood, the result will be a new heavens and a new earth. John tells us of his vision in Revelation 21 that right after he saw the day of judgment, he saw a new heavens and a new earth. The wrath of God, the flood of his wrath, wiped the earth clean. And like Noah, who stepped out onto the new earth, into the new world, those who pass through the judgment will step onto a new earth. An earth without the curse of sin, without death and pain, a world without tears. And it will be a world of unchanging perfection and glory. And the best part of all, God will be there in all his radiant glory. And the fourth and last comparison then is this. Just as the only way through the flood was by being in the ark, so the only way through the day of judgment is through Jesus Christ. The only way through the flood of God's wrath is through Jesus Christ. All throughout the Bible, we're told that if we want to live through the day of judgment, the only way is through Jesus Christ. To believe in Jesus, to rest in Jesus, to come to Jesus, to cling to Jesus. We're told that in Jesus and through Jesus and because of Jesus, we have life. Jesus is the ark. And if our lives are hidden in Him, then we will pass through that final day of judgment and enter into a perfect and glorious new world and live in God's presence forever. If we really believe that this day is coming, then it should focus us on one question. Am I in Jesus Christ? Am I in Jesus Christ? And not only that, but it also should fill us with dread for the rest of the world. For our neighbors, for our coworkers, our friends who aren't ready, if we really believe that this day is coming, then how deliberately should we be living to give warning to those around us, urging them to also be in Christ? tsunami 2004 wiped out lots of people, 230,000 people. It was a huge tragedy, but compared to the flood of Noah's day, it was like a blip on the radar. The entire world was wiped out. Only 8 people were saved. But the flood of Noah's day, compared to the day of judgment, is also like a blip on the radar compared to that day of devastation, which includes all people all throughout history who will be lost, swept away in hell forever. The day is near. The Lord is at hand, as we're told. Are you ready? Is your neighbor ready? Are your family members ready? Are your co-workers ready? Is your life safe in the ark of Jesus Christ? Only He will carry you through. Cling to Him. Let's pray. Our Lord God, we thank You for Jesus Christ, who is our Savior, who is our ark, the one who will carry us through not only through this life, but who will carry us through that final day of judgment, where we will be escorted into a new heavens and new earth. We anticipate with great joy that day. We urge You to come, Lord Jesus, but as You wait, help us to be intentional, to live intentionally, reaching those around us, urging them also to come and find refuge in the only ark of God, in Jesus Christ. Please have mercy on this world and let many come to repentance. And use us as instruments in Your hands to bring that about. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We've heard the Word of God, and we receive the Word of God by faith. And God uses that to transform us. Now we have the privilege of celebrating the Lord's Supper. In the Lord's Supper, we remember what Christ has done, how He came to be the ark of God, how He came to die to save